sponsoring in memory of Yitzchak Yochanan Ben Sara. Shavuot Refuah Shleima, Rabbi Friedman was certainly thinking of him. The remainder of the season, we are off the official gravy train. We thank him for his winter sponsorship, but that means if you'd like food, you got to pony up. So if everyone could sponsor 1 week, we'll be pretty much set. In terms of our schedule going closer to Pesach, I probably don't know. All I could tell you is that you should take a look at the bulletin in general, and or hopefully you're on the email list. Next year, that's right. And also, as a reminder, as you may have seen already, next week we are having a shiur, but it's not in the same place, even though it is at the same time. It'll be held at the Aguda in conjunction with Rabbi Friend, and it will be not connected to the parsha per se, but a special shiur that we're both giving in commemoration and in connection with the Yishloshim for the Merkas Rav students. So I certainly encourage everyone to come to Rabbi Friend's shiur, and if you're awake enough to stay for mine. I give you Rabbi Franch here in lieu of Kogel. Since I don't think they have food in the shul and they're good. Okay. Speaking of food, Parsha Shmini is famous for the laws of kashrus, and the Torah here delineates the different food species that we would eat really into four different types of categories of halachos. And one of those halachos is a fowl or of birds. And it's that general topic of what makes a kosher bird that I'd like to discuss tonight with specific focus and attention on the question of turkey. The Gemara in Chulin explains that if you take a look in the Psukim, there are 21 birds that are mentioned that are not kosher, but in three places, some form of the word lemina, lemine, lemineim, something to that effect of its kind, of its species is mentioned. That's three times. The 21 plus 3 is 24. The Gemara says there are 24 species of birds that are treif. Now, species is really not a precise word. It's hard to know what English word to use because the same Gemara points out that one of the species mentioned in the Gemara, there are 100 different types of that bird in the East. So, a lot more than 24 then, if one of them has 100 in its category. So, it's some kind of classes of bird, which could include, in one case, up to 100 species, that are referred to by these 24. The Gemara in Masech Techulun Adav Samach Gimel, which is then explained to you really based on Rashi, and this is the way the Rambam Paskins points out explicitly that the implication of this is that these are the 24 birds, therefore, that are treif. All others are kosher. And therefore, Lu Yitzuyer, you are an expert, you are Moshe Rabbeinu, and you could identify which were these 24 classes of birds, then you would know that every other bird in the world is kosher. The Mishnah in Masechta, also all this is a chulin on Daf Nun Tes, points out something that's kind of implicit in what we've already said, but makes it explicit. And that is that there's something fundamentally unique about this discussion as opposed to, for example, all of the other three categories, the grasshoppers, the fish, and the animals. And that is that unlike the other categories where the Torah gives signs for what determines a kosher or unkosher animal or fish, etc., there are no signs given in the Torah. Midaraisa, there are no, at least, I shouldn't say midaraisa. The Torah never gives us any signs. However, the Mishnah says, and the Gemara will amplify, that there are four signs that Chazal give. The only thing the Chumash tells us is these 24 species are treif, everything else is kosher. However, as the Rishonim already long ago pointed out, it's almost impossible to identify what these species are. Therefore, just knowing the names does not help us. So if we had markers from the Torah, then we would just apply the markers, the signs. The problem is the Torah doesn't give us signs. So Chazal understand, therefore, that they needed to step in, and they come and give us four signs. But they're not similar, they're not exactly similar to the way the Torah describes the animals, where they give us two signs, or the fish, two signs to be kosher. Rather, it's a little bit different. And this, as I've said in other contexts numerous times during Shurim, I'm not making this complicated. it is complicated. So this is a little bit complicated, but I'll try to make it, as best as I can, as simple as possible. In a way that I hope still you'll learn, you'll really understand the sugya. The first thing that the Mishnah tells us and the Gemara extrapolates is that if a bird is do-reis, it is treif. And the problem is it's hard to know how to translate do-reis. On some level, it means predator. But the question is, what does that mean? And this, just to give you a very quick summary, is at least a four-way machlokas rishonim. Rashi here, and the Bartanur in one of the Pshatim, says that it means that the bird seizes the food with its claws, rather than, and then brings it to its mouth, as opposed to eating directly off the ground. That's one pshat that Rashi says. That's what Doris is. So if a bird that does that would be treif. Rashi later on Daf Samach Beis says, perhaps, and it seems to be what the Rambam holds, that if you places one claw on the food, holding it in its place, and preventing it from moving, and then uses its beak to rip it apart and to eat it, that would be the predatory birds that are treif. A third shot is from Tosfos, who says that first it hits its prey to stun it, and then it starts eating it piece by piece while it's still alive. It does not first kill its prey. And finally, the Ramban says it means that the bird kills its prey with its claws. There are four different, and again, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible, but still substantive. These are four different perushim in the Rishonim to explain the first of the four signs that the Mishnah gives. Namely, that this is a negative sign. Namely, if a bird is a do-reis, then it is treif for sure. Then the Mishnah continues and says, but there are three simonim of kashrus. The first one is an etzba yisera, an extra finger. And here also you have a machlokas rishonim. Some say it means that it has one elongated toe or finger above the others, whereas other mefarshim say that certain birds have, let's say, two or three of these. Again, I don't know if the right word is fingers or toes. Talons. Two or three of them, let's say, on one row, you know, parallel, but then one in a different row behind it. One version of this or not, that's the etzba yisera, the Mishnah says, that's a simon of kashrus of a bird. Something to that effect, that's right. The third thing that the Mishnah says is the zefek, which in English is the crop. What is a crop? You can get credit, by the way, for continuing ed in biology for this class, for this year. A crop is this kind of sac-like organ, which the bird would store the food pre-digestion. So you have the zefek, also simon kashrus. And perhaps the most famous of these simoni kashrus is the kurkavan, which is known as the gizzard. And that is a pouch on the other end of the crop, and that's where the animal digests and grinds up the food. However, the Mishnah doesn't just say you have to have one. Apparently, some birds have one, and others have one in which the skin, the inner lining of it, can be peeled away from the flesh. The Mishnah says it has a korkavan which can be peeled. That's the simon of kashrus. Just as an aside, when I say it's famous, what I mean is as follows. There's a well-known story and the legend of Litta, of a certain Rav who was known to be a big genius and a Baal Kishrin, who got his first Rabbonus, and his first Shiloh woman came to him with a chicken and wasn't sure if it was kosher or not. And he is a treifa or not, and he's looking, and he doesn't have any idea even what he's looking at. And then finally somebody points out to him, that this is the korkavan. He goes, the heiliger korkavan! I never saw one of those. They're different names sometimes, but yeah, there could be whoever the story was about. It could easily have been, if I was right to the first part of the story, I definitely would be deserving of the second part. The illustration is, so to speak, the difference between the gap between the Beis Medrash and the real world, so to speak. So the Rav knew all the halachos, so he didn't know what he was looking at, though. So that's the korkavan. This is it. And this is, again, it's a bird. Someone who thinks the korkavan is an animal, they certainly wouldn't know. That's one of the three simoni kashrus of a bird. Now, before we get to a very important machlokas rishonim, which is, do you need all of three? Is three in addition to not being a do-reis? Is one enough? We'll get to that in a second. I just want to point out that whatever you hold in terms of the chess pieces around. Fundamentally, we do have these three simone kashrus in the positive sense, or a simon trefus in the negative sense. And I saw something which, I don't know if I would have thought of on my own, but if I wouldn't have, then I should have. And that is a very fundamental, fascinating question that some of the Achronim ask to understand these simonim. And that is as follows, and the word simonim will perhaps be tricky, so let's use the word in English, signs. And we often, in halacha, whenever we have requirements of something, we'll often ask the following question. I'll give it to you first in the yeshivish sprach, and then I'll try to translate it into something that makes sense. We want to know, in all seriousness, are these signs, the gizzard, the kurkavan, etc., are they a simon of kashrus? Are they a siba of kashrus? Are they just an indication that the animal's kosher? Or are they the cause of the kashrus? Is it that we don't know what's kosher, but if the bird has these simanim, that's like a telltale sign, it must be kosher. But what makes it kosher? That it's a kosher bird. Or do you say, no, it's gufa having these simanim, that is, as we would say in other contexts, the machayev, it is what makes it kosher. Oh, very good. So the Ragachover, well, that might be, but the Ragachover clears this chakira, and then Machalos HaSaros. And it's also discussed by the Avnei Nezer and others. And it gives the following nafkamina, fascinating nafkamina. This is part of like chulin that is so hard and difficult. It illustrates some of the most famously difficult sugyas in chulin, these sugyas of the biology, the treifas and stuff. There's a discussion in Tanayim, quoted in Daf Samaches, if you have a malformed animal that is born. There's an animal that comes from a species which you know is kosher, but this particular animal is missing one of the simanim. Is that animal kosher or not? A fascinating question. That's the question the Gemara asks. Just take an example of an animal. Take an example of an animal. You have a cow that's born without a split hoof. A chicken without a korkovan. So is it kosher or not? So the in Gemara and Samaches, there's a shita that's quoted that says it's usher. You can have a treif cow. How could that be? A cow's a kosher animal. We know that. So the pshat says Ragachover is clearly that based on this chakira. If you assume that the signs are the siba, they are what makes it kosher. So usually cows have that. That's why they're kosher. But if this cow doesn't have it, you can have a treif cow. But if you assume that a simon is just that, is just a simon, it is an indicator which species is kosher. And cows as a species, we already know are kosher. So too says the Ragachover, just like the Gemara seems to have that discussion about animals, says the Ragachover, the same thing is truly klerz hachakira by fish. And in theory, if you have a fish that we know, a salmon or something, if we know it's typically considered kosher, but let's say you had a given salmon that was born, we have a nebuch, unfortunately, children born with deformities. You had a fish that was born without, salmon without scales. Is that kosher or not? So says the Ragachover, that depends on this hakira. And in case you're wondering, some of the Achronim ask the same question about fish. Excuse me, about fish. We're talking about birds primarily. The Ragachover was originally talking about birds. The Gemara was talking about animals. But I saw some Achronim, the Zecher Yitzchak of Itzlav Panovich discusses this, there's an Avnei Nezer, there's this Ragachover. It's a very interesting literature, which is a little more conceptual than this type of part of Chulin usually is, about what the role of the Simanim are. And it's something, to the extent that you do ever learn Chulin or Kashrus again, whether it's through Daf Yom or other thing, it's a very interesting, and I would think a very illuminating Chakira to keep in the back of your mind. Yes, please. Absolutely. It could. I don't know how we possibly have no idea. I assumed it all, but I don't really remember, to be honest with you. I was trying to get out of this part of Smicha as quickly as possible. Yes. Therefore what?
So therefore, that would indicate that there's just a simon, not a seabelt, no?
No. We'll talk about it after, but no. Okay. Now, how do we know, how did Chazal know these four simonim? How did Chazal know these four simonim? Where did they get it from? As we said, the Mishnah itself tells us that there's no simonim of kosher birds in the Torah. So Chazal have a mesorah that they contrast two prototypical birds. A prototypical kosher bird, which is the tur, Tav Vav Resh, which is usually translated as a turtle dove, which is one of the two birds that explicitly mentioned in the Chumash that you can be bringing on the Mizbeach, and if it can be brought on the Mizbeach, it has to be kosher. On the other hand, the Nesher, which we generally assume is an eagle, is a prototypical bird that is treif. And the Gemara points out that whereas the tur, the turtle dove, has all four simonim, the nesher has none, meaning it is zoreis, and it doesn't have any of the three biological simonim. So that's the Gemara, is how it explains how the Mishnah got these four. The question is, as I alluded to before, is what is the relationship, A, between not being a doreis, a bird is can't be a doreis if it's kosher, but it also, the Mishnah had said, has three positive simonim, the extra finger, or claw, right, the crop, and the gizzard. So what's the relationship? So this is a machlokas rishonim, and then this will lead to the condensing of the psak in Shulchan Aruch, and that, I hope, will be, hopefully I haven't lost any of you yet, that will lead us into the question of turkey. The Rashi says that a bird, the Rashi has a big chumrah. Rashi says basically all four are nikuva. Namely, a bird can't be a dores, and it must have all three of the positive simonim in order for it to be definitely kosher. If it only has one or two of the positive simonim, it's a suffix kosher. And then we have to try to see if there's any other way we can mevarer to find out. But at best, it would be a suffix. That's Rashi's Shita. That would be a Chumrah. The Rambam also agrees that the two parts of the Mishnah, the not being a Doreis and the three positive, do build on each other. They're connected. But the Rambam is a little bit more makel in that he seems to say that as long as it's not a Doreis and has any of the three, not all the three, any of the three positive simonim, that would be sufficient to make it kosher. Tosfos and others, and this perhaps is a majority opinion actually, is in a certain sense the most lenient and sees the two clauses of the Mishnah as totally different. Namely, we don't want a bird that's a doreis. Doreis makes a bird treif. So if we knew that the bird wasn't a doreis, then we would say the bird is kosher. The problem is, it's hard for us to know whether a bird is really a doreis or not. So came along Chazal and said, if it has the three positive simonim, then memela we know it's not a doreis. Now I have no idea why the crop and the gizzard should have any connection to that, other than maybe it's just tacha. But I saw some of Farshim point out when it comes to the extra expa, so depending on that, you know, the shape of the claws, it can't necessarily do the doreis. It can't really beat up the animals or rip it apart or whatever that the different Rishonim say. So either way, that seems to be Tosfos and others, the main position. Namely, that the Ikra is it can't be a Doreis. And if it has the three, then we don't have to affirmatively know that it's not a Doreis. Because it's automatic. It's obvious. If it has the three simonim, it can't be a Doreis, and that would be enough to be kosher. Archa Shulchan, as I mentioned, Archa Shulchan says this is the dominant view. At least in Rishonim. However, so you come to the Shulchan Aruch. This is all quoted in Siman Pei Beis. Shulchan Aruch does a tricky thing. Pei Beis Sif Gimel. Yoredeya. So Shulchan Aruch tries to condense what the positive simonim are, but then adds, without getting into the details of that, in part because I'm not sure I understand it, but then the Shulchan Aruch adds, and you must know that it's not a Doreis. And you must know that it's not this type of predatory bird. Now, before I tell you the Ramah, you need to know one more Gemara. The Gemara talks about a certain type of bird, I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, but it did try to give a name in the Gemara, that the Amoraim did their research. They, you know, they got out of the Beis Medrash, they went into the field, they put on that hat, you know, those tan hats, they put on their khakis, and they went into the field, and they did all the research, and they were convinced that this bird was not a Doris. They were convinced, and therefore, they mattered it. People were enjoying it. It was the new in thing. You went to Bar Mitzvah, ooh, we have a new bird. Everyone was eating it. After a period of time, they realized they made a mistake. And they realized that it really was a dough race. So Rashi on that Gemara, Rashi on Daf Samach Beis Amar Aleph, says, from here, this Gemara is not Stama Maisa, it's not a Leitzonus. The Gemara, Rashi says, is teaching us a lesson. The Gemara is telling us it's just too hard. It's too hard to understand what's the Doris. Just like we, for years and centuries, have already known that we can identify the species of the Chumash, we even really can't identify the siman of the Mishnah, of it being a Doris. And therefore, Rashi says, it's not enough to be able to say, yes, it has these three positives and it doesn't have a negative. Rather, Rashi introduces us a concept. A bird has to have a Masorah that it's kosher. Even if you think it has all of the simanim, if it doesn't have the Masorah, that it was a kosher bird, you can't eat it. Now, Rashi doesn't invent the concept of Masorah in kashrus of birds, but he gives it an ironic twist. The Gemara has a notion of Masorah, but the Gemara's notion of Masorah is lakula. Namely, even if you're not sure, you can't identify the simanim. If it's a Masorah, then it's kosher. We can assume it's kosher. That's already in the Gemara. But Rashi, you could say there's a certain consistency to this, but it's certainly turning it on its head. Rashi uses it, he says, you see from this Gemara, a Chumrah, in the other direction. Really, everything is a Masorah at this point. If I could say it, it's like the third shlav of the kashrus of birds. The first is the chumash, which just gives us a list, and if we knew what the list was, then everything else would be kosher. Then, you know, the Tanoim already understood, you know, that's not sufficient, we need to give simanim. Then comes along the Amoraim, at least as Rashi understands the lesson of the Amoraim, and saying, listen, even that's not enough, it's too complicated. Rather, we just have to have a Masorah. A tradition, this bird, chickens are kosher, right? Chickens are, I don't exactly know the date, but it predates Rashi chickens, that Jews were eating chickens, at least certainly predates Rashi. So, for hundreds of years, we've known that chickens are kosher. That's a Masorah. But again, the point is, Rashi's a Chumrah. That even if we did check, oh, it's not a doe race, and we went to the zoologists, and we went to who knows who we asked, you know, and we, it doesn't matter, says Rashi. You need to have a positive Masorah of kashrus. Why do I mention this now? Because commenting on that Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from the Isser V'Heter, that the Minhag is like Rashi. And in fact, the Ramah famously quotes this requirement that bezmanenu, you want to know a bird that's kosher, you, in essence, it's easy, you don't have to learn all the halachas, because they don't matter anymore, because we can't figure out how to apply them. It's simply a question of, do we have a Masorah? Yes. If we don't have a Masorah, not. This was something that they themselves... First of all, the Shana HaTavayim or stuff is a huge topic. I have, if you're interested, I didn't think to actually look at it for preparing tonight's shir, Taka, but I have a sefer. There's a sefer. Just called, I think it's called Shinei HaTava Kalach or something like that. It's a very long, it's coming from Islam, Nechemi Goldberg. It's a very, I think the author is actually from Merkaz Arab. I'm not sure, but anyway, a very important work. I don't know if he has a topic, a chapter on this. I didn't take a look. But I don't think that would be applicable to that Gemara, because I'm not an expert in that topic. That's why I bought the book. I just haven't gotten around to reading it. But I want to become an expert. But my superficial impression of even when we would apply that topic is that's where you have, again, I'm not speaking with precision. I don't know where to draw the line, but you have like one generation or one century where they saw something, and then who knows how many generations or centuries later so we see something different. This was the same rabbis. The Nishtana HaTeva didn't happen in 5 months. You know what I mean? While they were celebrating the bar mitzvahs with a new chicken. So I don't think that would work for that case. And Lamaisa, it's just, it's not a question of, we used to know what the Nesher was, but Nishtana, we don't even know how to use the names. In other words, our, in a sense, if you'll forgive me the expression, our Amaratus is far more profound. So therefore Rashi says, and the Ramah endorses this, we need a Masorah. We need a Masora. Now I want to give you two or three more points, and then we'll be ready to take it to Turkey. First of all, the Shach points out that even though the Ramah is making his big Chumrah, but we should know, as the Gemara seems to have told us anyway, it is Lakula also. The Shach does say it's Lakula, namely if we have a bird with Masora, then we don't care about Simonim anymore. We'd have to look for the Simonim. Masora, says the Shach, the Ramah is telling us, Rashi was telling us, Masora is now, it's rewritten the Shulchan Aruch, and that's in, if you will. Masora is everything. If we don't have a Masora, it's not kosher, even if we see the Simonim. If it does have a Masora, it is still kosher. The only exception, says the Shach, is unless we have empirical knowledge that it's a Doris. As we see it clawing other animals or whatever, so then whether we'll give the answer of the Shtar of Tvayim or just mistake, separate Shaila, that's the only time the Shach says we're going to leave the world of Masora. If with the Einenu Re'inu, that it's a Doris. But otherwise, we have a right, says the Shach, to go both L'chumra and L'kula. As I said, in a certain sense, you tell the Rebbe, I don't have to get 100 on this fahar because I don't need to know any of the halachas anymore. All those sugyas that people broke their heads on. I was listening to a tape a little bit of Rav Shechter on the topic, which I'll try to quote a little bit later, Chiddush of Rav Shechter's. And he mentioned the point that he said, if you look in Maskilish literature, you know, the first generation of Maskilim were, you know, all, unfortunately, people who were shun of a pirish. They had learned in Tells and Slobotka and, you know, whatever. And they often spoke about, you know, in their sometimes very, you know, romanticized, you know, their yeshiva days. And they used to speak about breaking their, they remember their time in yeshiva, breaking their heads on these Gemaras and Eila Trefus. This was like a legendary thing. But once you got the Ramah, you don't need to know it anymore, says the Shach. It doesn't matter. It's all the Masora. Right? It's like, unless you, in a very rare circumstance, empirically, you can witness the animal being a doe race, but that's very unlikely. Other than that, says the Shach, l'kula l'chumra, that's what the Ramah is telling us. Everything is Masora. So I'll say, the Rush has a tshuva, and the Maril has a tshuva, obviously, a little bit later, but basically the same idea as the Rush, and that is that you need an authentic source. There was a situation where the Rush lived in Spain, where there was a certain bird, which a whole group of people claimed that they had a Masora on was kosher. And the Rush says, no, because I have a Masora that the bird is treif. And in a certain sense, you know, my daddy's stronger than yours. As my Masora comes from a more authentic, from community. And therefore, we don't stomp say, because lots of people are doing something, that must mean it's kosher. Again, how you would define this with precision, I'm not sure. But the Rush makes the point that you need a bona fide from community that would create the presumption of Masora. Furthermore, the Aruch HaShulchan gives us also some interesting halachos about this that are related. What if a person is machmir because as far as they know, where they are living, there was no Masora of a particular animal or bird? And then you go to a place where they say, no, we have a reliable Masora that bird is kosher. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, you have a right to rely on that. And that person, yes, exactly. Then there are Aruch HaShulchan says something even more, which is, let's say we're living in Baltimore. In Baltimore, there's no Masora that the bird is kosher. But in Los Angeles, they do have the Masora that the bird is kosher. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, one community has the right, as a community, there an individual can't do it. But if the community wants, it can adopt relying on the other community and apply the Masora. Needless to say, you know, these things don't change too often. These are like once every few generations these types of things could potentially come up. But certainly a lot more investigation would need to be done than we're going now. But I assume it's true for you. It was certainly true for me interviewing these halachos. A lot of this is new. So it's good to just be exposed to and just become at least literate in some of these concepts. Okay. Now, in light of all of this, if we could summarize everything, we could boil it all down. Even if you couldn't keep track of the four shitas in Doreis and the three shitas in Yisera and all the other stuff, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you need a Masora, right? I can make it very simple for you. In fact, Akasha, what about Turkey? As some of the poskim themselves ask, there's clearly no Masora on Turkey. You know, when Columbus, you know, Yisparach Shemo, when Columbus came and founded Americas and found turkeys and then brought them back to Europe, there was no Masora, there were no Jews living in America. Whatever Kehillah the Rush required, you didn't have that in America then. How could you eat turkey? There's obviously no Masorah on turkey. There was no Jews there. How could you eat turkey? That's the kasha. Everything is by Masorah. Now it happens to be, the reason that this is such a sharp question, and you appreciate it in light of the above, but it's also true, it's absolutely clear, that the turkey has all the simonim of kashrus. It's not a dough race, and so they say, I wouldn't know personally, it has the three positive simonim.
Maybe they were talking about that turkey from L.A. They had a turkey in L.A.
I don't think so. You need to have, again, I'm also...
I mean, a different country, I mean.
Where? Which country had turkeys before Columbus found turkeys?
There were only turkeys in America?
Yeah.
Although, I just want to point out, and I had a conversation with Rabbi Heinemann tonight at a wedding. I remember I grabbed him right after the wedding, and I just said, Rabbi Heinemann, cheers. Why do you eat turkey? He thought I was like, I was being... I said, I'm giving a shear. I'm just curious. I know the Star Cake is after the turkey. I'm just curious. So, anyway, but the first thing he said to me was, what do you call it? Why is it called Basar Hodu? Why is it called that? It comes from India, the Jews in India. Now, I saw the Kaf HaChaim, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. Kaf HaChaim and others made the same point, that there must have been a Jewish community in India. And that's what... But I said it behind me, I repeated it twice. I don't know if it's true. I'm not the biggest expert in birds, for sure, even in American history. I thought turkey comes from America. Is there any real evidence that it came from India? Now, Yitaka said, you're behind the sentence. Why is it called Hodu? I said, I don't know.
No, because Hodu means thanks. Anyway. Why are Indians called Indians? Because they thought
that
they made a mistake.
It's all the same. Okay, good. Oh, very good. Okay. So you can do me a favor. You continue this conversation with behind for me. And let me know.
Is Turkey its own min?
From a halachic perspective or a biological perspective?
Biological.
I have no idea.
If it's a type of chicken, then...
It's not considered... Biologically, it's definitely not considered a type of chicken.
You cannot breed a turkey with a chicken.
Oh, hold on 1 second. Slow up. Anyway, okay. So now, how are we going to be matzah the turkey? And I want to point out that we absolutely have to be matzah the turkey. Because
where's the Masorah on turkey, but where's the Masorah on ducks?
So it's a big
Charlotte.
Ducks.
We had to start somewhere.
Ducks were all over.
No, first of all, I think if I'm not mistaken, there are different times where ducks have become a Shaila. I don't know what types of duck, this kind of duck, that kind of duck. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a good question. All I know is that, as I say, Rashi, who's the one who came up with this Masorah idea, and Lemaisa, if I'm not mistaken, this is also something, again, I can't tell you how he knows it, but I heard this, I think specifically from Rav Shechter, that they, I don't know if it's historical or halachic sources, but he said clearly that they had the chickens before the time of Rashi. So the bottom line is certainly at that point, they were already eating it. Why did they know? Maybe because they looked into it. I'm not sure. It's a good question.
Again, the turkeys were only in America? This is not
a turkey history class. I'm not sure. I'm not saying it's not a fair question. I just don't have the answer. I think
Google,
it's a Native American bird.
Google turkey.
Okay.
Do they have a Tanagol and Tamshas?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, the reason we have to be matir is because my favorite meal as a kid was my mother's Thanksgiving meal. And I'm not discussing that with Chukas Akamishes, but Avada, we had turkey. You bet your bottom dollar. And her stuffing recipe with the turkey is, I'm speaking of Masorah, she gave it a Masorah to my wife, who diligently and faithfully repeats such a recipe. So we certainly can't leave here without some heterim for turkey. The question is, what are they going to be? So one possible heter is known in the poskim as the goose heter. Why is it mutter to eat goose? Geese, whatever the word is. Why is it mutter to eat it? So the Baal HaMor is a famous Baal HaMor, also quoted by a number of Rishonim authoritatively. The Baal HaMor says, again, because each Rishon, each Achron, they're looking for, like, I wouldn't say shortcuts, but simonim, sim the milsa, because the details, the real details, especially going back to the Chumash, no one has how to use them. So a mnemonic or a trick, says the Baal HaMor, is any bird that has a wide beak and webbed feet, like a goose, says the Baal HaMor, is not a dough race, we can know for sure, then, as long as it has the other three simanim, we assume it's kosher. Gives that example. He says, a long beak. What makes us long? I don't know. How many centimeters? I don't know. But he says, a long beak, webbed feet. We not like a goose. We know it's not dores. And
webbed feet or webbed feet.
And. I think there's different gears, but I think we assume and, actually.
So what does that do for the swan?
I don't
know.
No. Balamor didn't eat that. Balamor is not talking about Rashi's Masorah. The Balamor just said it.
Where does he get it from?
Oh! How does he get it? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Swans are not kosher, and they match
that. So, hold on.
They don't have the other three.
Right. I don't know if they have the other three. So the Prisha and the Taz both say that this is lowly with the Rashi. That this isn't, who said we may be going with Rashi nowadays? The Balamor didn't have to go by Rashi. This is not a Libra the Rashi. Other Achronim say no, that even this Rashi would be moted to. That Rashi would be moted. That if it had this, then we would know but Taras Vada, it's not a Dores, and therefore you don't need his Masorah. So one possibility, it's not the strongest one perhaps, one possibility is to say, if the turkey, which it does, meets the criteria of the goose, the Balamor's goose theory, so maybe we could rely on that, especially if we understand, like those Achronim, that even Rashi, i.e. the Rama, would accept it. That's one possible heter, but hopefully we can come with some better ones. That's one possible heter that is quoted. Number two.
So the Sarah is not everything.
According to Balamor. But not if we accept that. In fact, even though he doesn't mention turkey, but Rav Shlomo Kluger, the Shuv's Elch of Shlomo, he writes that the birds that they're bringing from America are treif. He's shrine. How come everyone's running to the docks to get the birds from America? It's treif. Why are they treif? Because there's no Masorah. There's no Masorah. So the Netziv is one of the Mekilim. And the Netziv has a tshuva where he refers to something called Indik, which is what we think they mean turkey when the Achronim were speaking about this. He calls it Indik. And he says that initially, he says, and this really relates to, I'm not sure if it's accurate or not, you'll tell me, but this relates to Hillel's question. He says, the Meshav Dover says, originally, there were some kashas about whether this is bird is kosher, it's not kosher. But he says, since most Jews do in fact eat it, that itself creates a de facto Masorah, which we can then rely on, absent of any, you know, empirical evidence, i.e. in the shach I mentioned before. So, it's reminiscent, I'm using it as a, even somewhat far away, although it's also Yardaya, example, like in Chukas Akum. Sometimes in Chukas Akum, there's a certain style that's a goyish style. So the first generation of Jews who imitated Taka, we shouldn't have done it. But once they did it, so then it's already a Jewish style. So too here, that seems what the Meshav Dover was saying. And Echanami, there were some shilas. They shouldn't have. I'm not sure he's so clear on that, but he does say there were shilas at first. But Lamaisa, once it started being done, so does haste the Masorah.
I heard this.
Right. See what people do?
Right.
I heard this about Klegemis and Masisha regarding the first Yidden who
used
the Shay back hundreds of years.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, same idea, exactly. And again, I think it's important to give the analogies because that strengthens the Netziv. In other words, as you said, this is not sound like a heter he just made up. This is a halachic category. We sometimes use such a halachic organization. Okay. The Tzemach Tzedek has a similar svara. He's talking about a certain type of goose. I don't exactly know what type. I wasn't talking about turkey, but also in the concept of birds and kashrus makes the same point. So that's, I think, potentially a very good heter for us. Another very interesting heter, which gets back to Rashi, a little alumnus of how Rashi works, is the Aruga Sabosa. Not the shul, but the original sefer. And he says as follows. He assumes that according to Rashi, or the Rama, and this really alludes to something I said before, with the goose and the Balamor, building on that, he says explicitly, Rashi and the Balamor, and the Rama, excuse me, only said you need a Masorah if you're not sure if it's Dores or not. But if you're sure that it's not Dores, we see that with our own eyes, then we don't need the Masorah. Now, I am not, the reason that this, it makes a lot of sense to me, the only problem with it is that I thought Rashi was saying, Enchanami, no. In other words, That's exactly what the Amoraim were trying to do, and that's what exactly what Rashi was saying we can't rely on. So I could see someone really being a fakpek in this Arukas Abosam. But again, the bottom line is if one would accept Arukas Abosam, then that would certainly help us with a heter for Turkey. One other point, another of the well-known heterim that is brought down, is a very lengthy and a very argumentative. Some of these arguments, as we know from other areas of halacha, were incredibly passionate. You know, once people started accusing other people of matzering tarfas, you know. So the Sholem Eishev writes a very strong tshuva lakula. And he has a tremendous chiddush, which again, controversial, but worth noting. He says, look around, but he takes the look around argument in either a different or bigger direction. He says, listen, the bottom line is, he says, he admits it. You're right. There is no Masorah for Turkey. He doesn't say, like before, look around, oh, that's de facto the Masorah. No. There's no right to eat it. There's no Masorah for Turkey. And Ein Hachanami, according to the Ramah, you shouldn't be able to eat Turkey. Elamai, Klal Yisrael, apparently, did not fully accept the Ramah. Look around, not the defer that satisfies the Ramah. Look around, apparently we didn't totally accept the Ramah. Because obviously, Klal Yisrael is eating Turkey. So, not everyone liked this, needless to say, because, again, there's a very strong tradition, not just in general, but particularly here, of assuming that the Ramah meant what he said what he meant, and we accept the Ramah on this Masorah idea of birds. But, you know, the Sholem Eishev is not a small person, and he says, no, it's not ironclad, this thing of that. The Lublin Rav, who was very upset at this almost heresy of the Sholem Eishev, but even he was makel, but he was makeable in something that was very questionable biologically, and that is that he held, that at least from a halachic perspective, it's from the same species as birds. As chicken. The Lublin Rav says that. But it's hard to know, it's hard to really buy that, because it's not true biologically. But he says, halachically, they're from the same species as chicken. Now, you mentioned before about mating. So one of the things I didn't mention, this much would be too complicated, and I still have a few more other things to mention in a second, but there are other poskim, there's a Nativ, and there are other people who talk about, there's a Gemara in Bechoros that talking about animals, that says a kosher animal could never mate with a treif animal. And if you see two animals mating, and you knew one of them was kosher, you can assume that the other one is kosher. That's enough. The very fact that they can mate would be enough to allow them to assume that the chazak of the first one applies to the second one. That's the Gemara in Bechoros. And there are those who have attempted to show that that could be true for the turkeys and chickens. That sometimes they do mate. It's possible biologically. But I didn't, you know, verify any of that. But I'm just saying, I did see such a discussion in Poskim. So let's bring it down, Lamaisa. One last explanation I saw, which is quasi-historical, but I think it's very compelling, was on this shir that I heard from Rav Schechter. So he gave the following explanation. Again, speaking about American history, which he happens to be a little bit of a buff on, I think. Very proud that he grew up in Philadelphia and the Liberty Bell. He always talks about that. He said simple. He has a different explanation for all of us. We don't need all of this. The Sholem Eishev and everything. Of course we accept the Ramah. A different issue. Who came back? Where was Columbus from? Where did he bring the turkeys back to? Sfarad. Not Ashkenaz. So the Frum, as he put it, the ultra-Orthodox Sfaradim, they were eating the turkeys. They didn't have any issues with Ramah. They saw that it looked kosher. Then it started migrating to Eastern Europe. Then there was a Masorah. Where is the Masorah? The Frum Sfaradim. I thought that's very sharp. That's what I heard it on the tape. I don't know if he's quoting, he didn't quote anybody else. I don't know if someone else said it before him or not. But that's what I heard from Rav Schechter as a possibility.
What was there that they have
these laws? I don't know. Let me finish up, though. So, and one last thing, because it's a little Baltimore connection. There was a great Dayan who passed away not long ago named Rav Yitzchak Isaac Libus, brother of our proprietor of Libus Deli, or uncle. Not of Old Man Libus.
Old Man Libus.
Yes, the brother. Right. Okay, the uncle of the one who's still alive. That's right. So he has an article in the Masorah Journal, almost 20 years ago, about Cornish hens. Why are those mutter to eat? So anyway, Lamaisa, one of the things that he says there is perhaps, he points out also something historical. He says that the Ramah was born in 1540. And that's 46 years after America was discovered. So he said maybe they got the window in. Maybe they were already eating it before the Ramah came up with his whole chumrah of Masorah. Anyway, one or some or many of these reasons. But myself, when I asked Rabbi Heinemann why is it mutter, he gave me the other reason, which is Basar Hodu came from India. There was a Masorah from there. So again, he's not the only one who said it. I told him that Kava Chaim said the same thing. I just don't know if that's true. So there are certainly a number of different reasons why you could assume that turkey is kosher, and that's certainly Minhag Yisrael. It is worth noting that there are small pockets of either families or particular Gedol Yisrael over the generations who have not eaten a turkey. The family of the Shlah has a Masorah. People who know their descendants of the Shlah will not eat. The postscript talked about one family in Russia that everyone knew everyone, but this one family, they didn't eat turkey. And more recently, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was known not to eat turkey. Although it's interesting, apparently the explanation is as follows. When he got married, his wife's family didn't eat turkey. And out of respect for his in-laws or for his wife, he adopted it for himself. His children, at least his sons, if I'm not mistaken, adopted it as well. To the best of my knowledge, Shmuel Kamenetsky did not eat turkey. But it's also true that he told all of his daughters once they got married that they were certainly free to adopt the new family's custom of eating turkey. And I believe I don't believe any of the grandchildren, maybe then are Ben grandchildren, I'm not sure. But more broadly speaking, I think it's a little bit water. But if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shmuel does not eat turkey, and his father had such a Masorah. Rav David Lifshitz, I'm told, did not eat turkey. And just to give you two other makaros, even among many people who talk about it being mutter, even though they don't discuss the whys, but I had a machshava, I took a look at some of the Thanksgiving discussions. Thanksgiving, even though you have tshuvas or discussions about Thanksgiving from the Chukas HaAkam perspective, it's a religious house, but Lamaisa, in the discussion there, for example, Moshe has two tshuvas about Thanksgiving. He's not discussing the kashrus of birds, but incidentally, he mentions just the Mesiach Levitumo, that is, you're going to go home and you're going to eat turkey. That's not the problem that Moshe would or wouldn't have with Thanksgiving. It's clear that he assumed that it was mutter. And Rav Shechter also writes in Nefesh HaRav that he never discussed the lumdus of why yes, why no, but it's clear that he said the Rav always ate turkey also. So, overwhelming majority of Gedol Yisrael of all generations since we've known about turkey, last 400 years, have eaten it. And one or some of these reasons is why. Yeah, yeah. So, bottom line.